We got this guy Pete Rowan. He's gonna come out and Magic Man right here. That's Pete Rowan right there. He was the guy that took over from Del. Am I right? That when Del moved on from Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys, where he went from banjo player to lead singer, played guitar. There's a funny story how both he and Bill Keith showed up at a gig with their banjos, and that's the day that Del was moved over to a guitar player. And after Del left the band, was it Pete who was next? Ronnie, you'd know that. Was Pete the guy who filled Del's shoes right after?
Oh, yeah.
Or was there somebody
in between? They'll do that with a couple of guys that didn't last long.
Couple of guys that didn't last long, he said. And then we got a guy who did last long. He played with him for 3 years. He wasn't too long out of college, and he was the guy who kept track of the dates. So Bill would say, Pete, come up here and tell us where we're going to be playing. Which
actually, I booked the dates.
Oh, you booked the dates, too.
Yeah, sometimes I booked dates that didn't exist.
Just have something to say on stage.
Just trying hard.
Yeah, we'll be over in Turkey for a big tour, a lot of festivals over there.
Be up at the Rainbow Valley Ranch over there, and you know, one night we drove all night from the Newport Folk Festival, only to arrive in mid-Ohio the next day to find that the promoter had completely let it slip.
Mm.
Yeah, I was waving a contract for $200, going, "Wait a minute!"
Yeah, really. A lot of people, you know, seeing Monroe in his later years, and he had a big bus and everything like that. But back in those years, he wasn't traveling too fancy.
No, we did a kind of relays. We'd drive out of Nashville in one car. That would break down sometime after midnight, and that would leave us stranded up going up through Indiana or someplace like that. But Bill had friends, and he would call and then send me and Richard on ahead. We'd hitchhike on ahead and get a new car and come back and pick up Bill and the boys and drive them up forward. One time we got
an
Edsel, which was
an
great.
An Edsel?
Yeah,
woo-hoo.
We got an Edsel from this guy, yeah.
Well, that's why we admire Pete so much, because he knows how to drive an Edsel. So
yeah,
there's some other reasons.
Push buttons.
Push button transmission. All right. What did Bill think about it when his $200 gig just evaporated? What happened?
He just wouldn't say anything for a long time.
Was there anybody in the band whose like fault it was, say?
It was always my fault.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Pete really impressed a lot of people back in those days, not just for the singing. And it was important to be the lead singer in the Bill Monroe group, because Bill was always up singing the harmony, the high harmony, so on the chorus. You get to do a lot of duets and maybe trios with Bill Monroe being your tenor singer, and I guess a lot rubs off in that situation. And
yeah, you're literally just jammed into the vocal mic with Bill right by your side.
Mm-hmm.
And the guitar player always stood over this side here, because from this point of view, the guitar can be heard by everybody, and the guitarist can hear everybody, and the bass players, this is always the spot here. And then everybody kind of groups in. One thing I enjoyed about seeing the Country Gentlemen, which was the first live bluegrass group I ever saw, was on the stage at this little club in Washington, D.C. called the Shamrock, how Charlie Waller, they seemed to gather around and make it like a resonant chamber of all their instruments. You know, that he holding this guitar up here and the mandolin coming in and the banjo right there, and then Tom Gray's bass would come in like right here. They'd really crowd the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was when one mic was not a novelty, it was just it.
That was it.
All there was.
Well, they actually used two as well. They had a little puny one like that over there.
Pete, they always kept it turned off.
Bad mic.
But the thing, there is a certain kind of friction that the one mic thing does, and Dell has often spoken about. What did Bill used to yell at you, man, when he wanted you to get in there?
You just said it a minute ago. He'd say, "Get in there and crowd me now." he wanted you right up in there, didn't he?
Right, crowded. I mean, literally, it was shoulder to shoulder. In fact, a couple of times he'd just knock you off to the side.
Yeah, perfect.
If he wanted to wake you up, he'd kind of like bump you off, you know. Yeah.
He was a hoss.
He was a hoss. He was a wheel hoss. So you had to really actually, I think, stand up to it. Or stand up to him, and that's how he respected you, if you stood up to him. But bluegrass music is sort of built on that in its most you know, sparks flying style is like, you got to stand up to it and don't back down. He said that, don't back down.
That's the name of a surfing song by the Beach Boys, by the way. Don't back down from that wave. Okay. I didn't know that's where he got it from, because you were in the band. You were in the band after the Beach Boys recorded that. So, okay. Now let's get back to bluegrass. You guys, I bet you could sing a real good duet together. Why don't you do it?
Oh no, let's start off with that.
We're gonna
start out with Bill Monroe.
We're gonna kind of dig into one of the classic arrangements that Bill put together after Elvis Presley recorded his tune of Blue Moon of Kentucky. You know, it was a waltz originally all the way through, and after Elvis recorded it, Bill added a little more rock and roll kind of thing to it, and he actually produced the Stanley Brothers version of it. So all you researchers of bluegrass arcana, if you've ever heard the Stanley Brothers, it's a little dusty, isn't it? Yeah, I'm getting it. You know, Elvis did his version. He sang in Blue Moon, Blue Moon, Blue Moon, keep shining down. And so when Bill produced the Stanley Brothers cut of Blue Moon of Kentucky for Mercury, he was very proud of the fact that he had the Stanley Brothers sing in harmony, Blue Moon, you know, the same way that Elvis did. And so he changed his own version from a waltz. He added in a fast part, which has become kind of a model. You've heard probably the version that we did with Old in the Way of the Great Pretender, which I thought was a great Pretender is a waltz, and it was done by the Platters, a rock and roll group. Back when I was growing up, we used to dance to that, and I thought, wow, what if we give that song the same treatment? You know, do it slow and then kick it off fast. So, and you know, a lot of people said, Bill, what? Doesn't that just? How about that Elvis Presley doing that rock and roll to your song? And Bill said, but you know, they were powerful chicks.